sometimes controversial, always politically incorrect, and pro-life without exception, without compromise, and without apology. It's the Pro-Life America Podcast with your hosts, Sarah Waits, and the president of Life Dynamics, Mark Crutcher.
Hello, guys. Welcome to the show. As you heard, I'm Mark Crutcher, and I'm joined by my comical sidekick, as it were, Sarah Waits.
Hello, everyone.
Sarah, it's a sad time.
It really is.
Tuesday, we had a shooting here in Texas, Uvalde, Texas. I know you're not a parent yet, so you don't have a reference for that. But as a parent, I felt so incredibly sad for those people. They're waiting around, especially yet on Tuesday when they were waiting in that room to
for hours. Yeah.
To find out if their child was one of the ones that made it or didn't make it. Mm-hmm. And I know this sounds weird, but that night I had to get up in the middle of the night to go to the restroom. And when I was coming back to bed, I was thinking about the parents of those children. Mm-hmm. They haven't slept. They're still awake. I guarantee you they stayed up all night.
Whether it be watching their child sleep or mourning the loss of their child, one of the two.
Whatever, yeah. You know, and to think about, you drive your child to school in the morning, and I can remember the times when I would take Sheila to school and, you know, kiss them goodbye and tell them to have a nice day and we'll pick you up at 3 o'clock or whatever it is. And they walk away and go into the school. You don't think that you'll never see your child again.
No.
That just doesn't compute.
Just in case anybody has not heard about this, I think we should go over the details of what happened. So what happened was 18-year-old Salvador Ramos went into an elementary school, shot and killed 19 children and two teachers in a fourth grade classroom. Also, there are others that are suspected to be injured. The total death count may go up as the people who are treated, you know, either get better or do not. In addition, he also shot his grandmother before he went to the school, and she is in critical condition at the hospital awaiting surgery. And of course, the official motive of this has not been revealed yet. It looked like on social media that he had been warning or suggesting that something was going to happen and that kids should watch out. But regardless, this is a really horrible situation.
This thing's going to unfold over a period of months.
Yeah.
And maybe that we never find out what totally happened here or what was the motivation. But some things were pretty predictable. The godless Democrats, led by Biden and Harris, jumped on the gun control bandwagon within minutes.
Yeah, he was doing a statement at the White House about this situation. And it started out with, I think, probably the most honest that Biden has ever been in his entire political career. And then it devolved into a blaming of anybody who had ever opposed any gun legislation. It was basically, it's everybody whose fault who supports the Second Amendment or is opposed to any of these gun laws.
I'm sitting here and I'm listening to this guy. Mm-hmm. And I'm listening to Harris and I'm listening to these other godless Democrats.
Yeah.
And these little kids are not even in the ground yet. Mm-hmm. And these animals are trying to use them to score cheap political points. Mm-hmm. You can rephrase it any way you want to, but that's the fact.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And you know, I am not a gun nut, as you know.
No. Mm-mm.
I don't have a gun. Mm-hmm. I've never owned a gun. Yeah. I've never shot a gun. Mm-hmm. So I'm not a gun nut, but I do support the Second Amendment. Mm-hmm. But the fact is, if someone wants to go out and kill a bunch of people, you can do it probably cheaper and quicker with a car than you can.
There was an attack not long ago where a guy used a van.
Right.
And I don't hear anybody talking about common sense vehicle ownership legislation.
Control, yeah. So you could do the same thing with a car, but the Democrats have locked onto this gun control thing.
And while they're doing that, they're citing shootings that have happened in states with the most strict gun control legislation on the books. Like Biden, during his press conference, mentioned one in New York. New York has some of the strictest gun laws in the entire country.
Or Illinois.
Yeah, absolutely. Chicago, Illinois. And strict gun laws.
Here's my question. Mm-hmm. Let's say that some degenerate, like this kid that shot these little boys and girls.
Yeah.
Let's say that he had done it with a car instead of with a gun. Mm-hmm. Would we now be holding the auto industry responsible for producing that car? You know, we have an obesity problem in America, and a lot of people die from complications caused by obesity. Are we now going to say we're going to blame that on the people who make forks and spoons? this idea that guns are the problem here. I was at the Denton County Courthouse several years ago, mm-hmm. and they have a lot of historical photos from the history of Denton County.
Yeah.
And they rotate them in and out of that courthouse museum all the time. Well, this time when I was down there, they had a photograph that was taken, I think in 1921 or 22, something in the early 1900s. Mm-hmm. And it was a picture of a one-room schoolhouse here in Denton.
Yeah.
And at the back of the room, you could see a bunch of guns stacked up against the wall. And that's because these kids that went to that school lived out in the rural parts of Denton County. And they took guns with them to school in case they were attacked by a...
Wow. Talk about a total change in culture.
But yeah. It was not uncommon. Mm-hmm. And I was talking to the lady down there that knew the history of Denton County. And I got talking. I said, did anybody ever talk about the guns that are sitting there? There was four or five rifles just mm-hmm. leaned up against the back wall. And she said, oh, yeah, people bring that up. They look at that all the time. She said, but from what we can tell, that wasn't uncommon. If you're going to send your kids walking to school... And you're out in an area where there's snakes, coyotes, bobcats, yeah. mountain lions, all these things that are mm-hmm. indigenous to North Texas, you're going to send them with a gun.
Yeah.
If you got any sense. Mm-hmm. But we never heard of school shootings. So these kids had access to guns. It's just that they didn't have any interest in shooting their classmates with them. And as long as we go down this trail, like the godless Democrats are doing, of blaming these things on what's in people's hands rather than what's in their hearts, we're never going to solve this problem. We need to know, why is it that somebody would do this? Whatever mechanism they used to do it, whether they used a car or a gun, whatever mechanism they used to do it, the question is, why would they?
Going back to this Salvador Ramos, he had suggested previously online that kids should watch out. There was intent. Are you going to tell me that he wouldn't have hurt anybody if he couldn't have had access to a gun? And be like, oh, well.
Since I can't get a gun. I'm not going to kill anybody.
An interesting thing that I saw that popped up in some of these articles is that one of these news outlets had talked to his grandfather. The grandfather said that he didn't even have a driver's license.
Yeah.
So he couldn't go by himself to the gun store somebody would have had to have taken, which also begs the question of how he got the gun in the first place. Because you go to any legitimate gun store... Well, the first thing they're going to ask you for is your driver's license.
Yeah. Another thing that has cropped up on this, and it's partly because the Democrats were going to try to score some cheap political points by jumping on the gun control issue. Mm-hmm. It just exacerbated again the tremendous divide that exists in this country. We all know, and you hear this daily, we have a tremendous divide among our people mm-hmm. that we've never had in the past.
There may have been some, but it's never been as pronounced as it is.
We had a civil war at one point. So, yeah, mm-hmm. it's happened. But I'm just saying...
In more recent years, yeah.
What caused all this to happen?
I think it's junk like this.
If you look at the issues we're divided over, of course, abortion being one of them, if not the main one. But, I mean, we just went through an environment where people hated each other based on whether they wore a mask or not. We had a situation right here in Denton. Back during the height of this mask, no mask argument that was going on, mm-hmm. a woman here in Denton was arrested at the Walmart for physically attacking another woman mm-hmm. in the parking lot, not inside the Walmart, but in the parking lot because she did not have a mask on.
Yeah.
She physically attacked this woman.
Oh, you saw videos of that kind of thing all around the country.
Yep.
In fact, it continues to go on in some places. It hasn't completely gone away. There was a video not long ago where this guy was at, I think it was a Costco or something like that, and he was threatening to mace one of the employees over masks.
We've got this tremendous divide where in America now, people hate each other over often issues that don't matter. Now, obviously, we think the abortion issue is the main one. And I'll be the first to tell you, I have no use for people who are not pro-life. I don't have any friends who aren't pro-life. I don't want any friends who aren't pro-life.
This is probably the difference between you and me. Maybe one day I'll get like that.
I just can't be in a relationship with someone mm-hmm. who says it's okay to kill these babies. Because they might as well say it was okay to do what was done right here, right? I mean, you wouldn't want to be, if you found somebody who today came out and said, well, these parents can have other kids and it's not that big a deal. I don't have a problem with what the guy did. You wouldn't want to be his friend.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's no different than abortion. The babies that are killed in abortion clinics, the thousands of them that are going to be killed today are just as human, just as deserving of life as these little mm-hmm. children that were killed yesterday.
Yeah.
So I don't have any use for those people. But here's the question I think we need to ask ourselves. When I heard last night on the news, they were talking about this divide.
Mm-hmm.
And it was over gun control.
Mm-hmm.
And people say, where did this start? How did we get into this position where, for political reasons, people are hating each other? And my argument is that if you want to know where it started or how it started, trace it backwards.
Mm-hmm.
And where it started was legalization of abortion. Because if you go back to 1973, these situations didn't exist.
Part of me kind of thinks it started in the McCarthy era with the Red Scare, where they had the government investigating citizens to see if they had any ties to communism, whether or not that was legit or not. But anytime you have fear like that take hold of you, and there's this temptation to turn against your neighbor out of fear, I think that's what breeds this sort of thing.
I don't think it's McCarthy. I lived through that era.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you that up until that point, up until the abortion issue got so hot, It was common for people to have sincere, heartfelt disagreements with their fellow Americans without hating them.
Mm-hmm.
And I can remember, and of course, this is before your time, but
yep.
I can remember, well, I'm old, what can I tell you? When you'd have Democrats and Republicans get into knockdown, drag out political fights for a political office, and the second it was over, it was over.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't hate each other.
Yeah,
they didn't hate each other. And I can tell you that at the time, this was still when there were good, Christian, honest Democrats who we might have disagreed with them just as much then as we do now.
You may have believed that their hearts were in the right place. It's just that their methods were wrong.
Right. And the thing you used to hear is, well, we all want the same thing. We just differ on how to get there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now we don't even all want the same thing.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, it started with abortion.
Well, I will
and
say
these
that
other issues kind of came along later, and abortion created the model for how you address these issues.
Well, the abortion mindset is that the taking of human life can solve problems. Go down the list. Poverty, crime, health issues.
The border. All those things.
It can solve all these problems. Well, what you're saying is, and what you're communicating, is that the taking of life can be used to solve social problems.
Right.
And I think that fundamentally does something to you as a society, as a culture.
And again, I think the abortion issue set the tone for this because it created a situation in which the pro-abortion people had no use for us. We had no use for them. We don't even see each other as deserving human beings. And, you know, now you hear these people, and I heard it last night, they were doing some man on the street stuff, and these people are saying, the problem in America is we have no respect for human life anymore. And that's certainly true. But where did that start?
Yeah.
And it is the height of stupidity to sit here and whine about the country having a lack of respect for human life while ignoring the slaughter of unborn children by the millions.
You know, on that note, there was something I saw when I was seeing if there's any updates to this situation in Uvalde. And one of the articles mentioned Amanda Gorman, a 24-year-old National Youth Poet Laureate, who posted on Twitter, "It takes a monster to kill children, but to watch monsters kill children again and again and do nothing isn't just insanity, it's inhumanity." Now, they were talking about, obviously, guns.
School shootings, right.
But that applies exactly to abortion.
Right. Like I said, it's the epitome of stupidity to think that abortion is not related to our lack of respect for human life.
I think it's hypocritical to think that your opinion of life on one side of the spectrum is not going to have any sort of impact on your view of life anywhere else on the spectrum.
Well, I've always said that if you look at the Roe versus Wade decision, for example, and the guy that wrote it.
Harry Blackmun.
Harry Blackmun wrote the Roe versus Wade decision. He is the American version of Adolf Hitler. He's killed more people than Adolf Hitler ever dreamed of killing. And what's interesting about that is not many months before he wrote Roe versus Wade, he gave an opinion in a death penalty case in which he said, support for the death penalty can do nothing but lower our respect for human life. And then less than a year later, he writes the Roe versus Wade decision.
Although I will say, though, even though he wrote the decision, I mean, it was on the other members of the Supreme Court to support that decision.
Oh, yeah, but if you read
the history of it... He's not the only one.
No, but if you read the history of it, he was the mover and the shaker behind it. And basically, he supported legalized abortion because his daughter, when she was in college, had a friend that got pregnant and couldn't get an abortion. That was mainly his motivation behind it. And he looked around in the Constitution to see if he could manufacture a right to abortion out of the Constitution, which is what he did. Abortion is not in the Constitution. The right to privacy is not there.
Mm-hmm.
He manufactured these rights mainly out of a personal issue. But all that aside, when people say, when are we going to gain respect for human life again? And I'm going to tell you, we're never going to have respect for human life again in this country until we quit slaughtering the unborn. In fact, our respect for human life is going to continue to go down every day that this slaughter continues. Just look at, I can't remember the guy's name, he's governor of Virginia, who just lost. But in the campaign, he was mm-hmm. talking about, and he's a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
The man's a medical doctor.
Yeah.
He was asked a question about a child being born alive during an abortion.
Yeah.
They're asking him, basically, would you give that child support? Now, the child's born at this point. He said, we'll make the child comfortable, and then we'll counsel with the mother and see what she wants us to do. In other words, she's entitled to a dead baby if that's what she wants. And this is a medical doctor who was saying, he was basically saying, yes, I would euthanize that child. This is the governor of a state,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
If we've devolved to that point, then what I said a moment ago is absolutely true. We're never going to have respect for human life again. And every day that this slaughter continues, our respect for human life is going to go down a little bit more every day.
Mm-hmm.
So where we'll be a year from now, 10 years from now, 50 years from now, if we don't stop this thing, who knows?
Mm-hmm.
But there are people who are now thinking or talking about, and it's been written about by bioethicists like Peter Singer, that parents should be given a certain length of time. I think he said 28 days
mm-hmm.
after the birth of a child to determine if they bond with that child or not. If they don't, the child can be euthanized.
Provided that that's a healthy child. If it's a child with a disability, people like Singer have often said that parents have a responsibility
to kill that child. Right.
You know, for the good of society.
Right. That's where we are. And so we all have a right to be upset about what happened in Uvalde, and we all are.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I got sick to my stomach.
Yeah.
But what we don't have is a right to be surprised about it.
Mm-hmm.
We do not have that right because we set the tone for this.
Mm-hmm.
On January 22nd, 1973, we set something in motion that led to this. And people can argue about that all they want to, but that's a fact. And until we correct that, and until there's justice for those children that have been murdered from then till now, we're never going to have respect for human life again.
Well, and it's not just the kids that have been murdered. It's the kids who saw all this.
Absolutely.
You're not going to tell me that their lives haven't been forever changed by this event.
Oh, absolutely. I saw that little boy that was in one of the rooms. They were showing him, but they didn't show his face. They showed his hands, and he was fidgeting with his hand. And he said one of the children that was shot, he said, was just a couple of feet from him. He said, I thought I was going to be killed. You know, a 9-year-old boy should not be put through that.
Mm-mm.
There's no way a little 9-year-old boy or a little 9-year-old girl should be put through that sort of thing.
There's adults who have been through that sort of thing who have had a hard time dealing with that, who have gone through hell and back to get over something like that.
Well,
can't imagine what it's like for a child, especially children who, I think when you're that age, you don't fully have a comprehension of the evil that can be in this world.
Yeah. Well,
it's not just a rude awakening that slowly happens as you age. It's like a full-on slap right in the face.
Well, I lived through the Vietnam War,
mm-hmm.
and I had four friends that were killed there. One of them was a really good friend of mine,
mm-hmm.
and I talked to a lot of guys that had come back from Vietnam, and I remember one of them. He was back on leave and had to go back again to Vietnam, and he was hanging out with us at the hamburger joint that we all hung out with our cars and our motorcycles when I was a kid.
At the drive-in. So quintessentially.
Oh, it was.
50s, 60s.
I feel sorry for kids nowadays that don't have something like that. But
yeah.
Anyway, I remember, first off, he didn't fit in with the rest of us.
How could he?
I'm still an 18 or 19-year-old boy.
Boy.
He's a 19-year-old mm-hmm. man.
Yeah.
He's been shot at. He's killed people.
More gore right. and tough decisions and stuff than you ever had in that entire 18 years.
I said, do you go to bed every night scared to death? He said, when I was first got there, I was really frightened about it. He said, but after a while, what superseded that fear happened the first time I stood over a guy that I killed.
Yeah.
He said, we'd had a firefight. We were in what's called an LZ, a landing zone, where a helicopter was landing to take some American soldiers that had been wounded out. Mm-hmm. And he said, we're protecting that landing zone. And it was the first time that I actually saw a guy that I shot at fall and was dead. And he said, after the thing, I went over and stood over him. And he said, I looked down at him and I thought, I didn't hate this guy.
Yeah.
He's just a guy like me. He's got parents. He may have a girlfriend or a wife or, you know, somebody cared about him. He had ideas about what he wanted to do with his life, and they didn't include being shot by me. And he told me, he said, that bothered him more than mm-hmm. the fear of him being killed himself.
Yeah.
So when you're around the death of human beings,
It
does something to you. And, of course, we see that even today with people that came back from Afghanistan or whatever, and they're all screwed up.
You see that with people who work in abortion clinics.
Absolutely.
If you have not read Line 5, I really suggest you do that. Chapter 5 mm-hmm. is called Vacant Souls, and it talks about the people who work in these clinics. What it does to them, and the bizarre behavior and the humor and the things that they do. Like I say, you really need to go read that, because working in that environment does something to you.
Absolutely. It destroys your soul, for one thing.
You have abortionists and clinic workers say, I was coming home angry. I was having disturbing dreams. Some of the dreams that they have, it's very interesting.
One of the most common was that they saw the babies like apples on a tree. That's one of the most common dreams that people in the abortion industry have.
I didn't know that there were similar dreams like that. I mean, I know that they have same kind of vein, but...
Oh, yeah. Seeing the babies as apples on a tree was real common.
Interesting.
And we did a show one time on Life Talk about abortion in rock and roll. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of references to abortion, and some of them are visual on covers and stuff of the albums. Mm-hmm. One of them was from Nirvana. Mm-hmm. The title of the album is In Utero. Mm-hmm. And it's a pretty dark, as a lot of his stuff was, pretty mm-hmm. dark album. But there's a picture on there of a tree with babies hanging in it like apples.
Interesting.
And, you know, he eventually committed suicide. Mm-hmm. And I often wondered, the album's name In Utero, there's these pictures in there that I've read about from pro-abort saying this is what we dream about, and he commits suicide. I don't know if there's a connection there or not, but it sure seems strange.
Yeah.
And I don't think we know fully what the impact on this culture has been from legalized abortion. And I'm not sure
There's no way to know.
We'll never know it.
Yeah.
But I'm going to promise you that there is a link between legalized abortion and these shootings. I promise you that's true.
Yeah.
And like I said, it's never going to get better until we stop this Holocaust. Anyway, that's all the time we have. And hopefully next week we'll have a little more upbeat show. But
until then, we're going to be keeping the family of the children and the teachers who were killed in our prayers. And
it's a horrible situation. And as a parent, my wife and I were talking about it last night and said, could you imagine mm-hmm. that we drove Sheila to school and dropped her off, and that was the last time we saw her? You know, it's mind-boggling. Mm-hmm. It's something that no parent should ever have to do. As you know, we had a child that died, a daughter, died as a baby. And it's the most unnatural thing in the world.
To outlive your child.
To bury your child. It's not only horrible from the emotional standpoint, but it's just wrong. You think parents are not supposed to bury their children. Mm-hmm. And that's what we had to do. And now these people have to do the same thing through no fault of their own or no fault of the child's.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's all the time we have. Until next Thursday, remember, Life Dynamics is not here to put up a good fight.
Mm-mm, we're here to win.
Because winning is how the killing stops. We'll see you next week.
Bye, guys.